On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the most recent football game against Kentucky, go over the results of my six-pack of picks, and look ahead to this week ahead in Carolina Athletics. All right, here we go. Okay, welcome to episode 6 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, where I will keep everything between 1801 to 2001. I'm your host, Tim Cox. All right, family. All right, Gamecock family. Are we doing okay? Are we good? I mean, we're all in this together. And I'm just going to say, I got your back. You want to DM me to debate? You want to talk football? You want to bitch and moan? You want to have a therapy session? My DMs are open. I mean, I will dive into what I didn't like and what I did and didn't like, rather, of the offense and defense as I normally do in these shows. But I just have some more general thoughts on this past weekend. And I just got to get it out, man. I mean, it was a tough one, right? I mean, there's no way around it. It was a really tough one. It was a tough pill to swallow. It was tough waking up Sunday. But you know what? The show goes on, right? Life goes on. We're in this together. A rising tide will lift all boats, so we got to keep the positive energy, try to keep a positive outlook on things. And if we were going to look at this half full, here's what I'll say. You know, we hung with Kentucky. We were competitive to the very end, more or less, and it felt like we could have, and honestly, it feels like we should have won. Which, you know, in Friday's show, I did mention that as Carolina is starting and trying to get out of this hole that we've been in and trying to get back to the top spots in the East, like Beamer says we can get to, like we all know we can get to, I said you have to look at a program like Kentucky, which is in one of those top spots. They've established themselves as a pretty good program, and you got to start with being competitive with them as a way to eventually surpass them. So if you are going to look at this half full from this past weekend, at least we were competitive, right? It shows that we're close. And Beamer said that. He's like, the margins are super thin in the SEC. It felt like we're close. But I think that's just why this loss hurts. I mean, we're all fans here, right? We all desperately want to see this program on the rise. And I'm sure many of y'all are the same way. But me personally, I mean, I start planning my Saturdays on Monday. Like, I'm recording this on a Monday. And I already know who I'm watching the game with. I already have the reservation set. I already know what other games are around. And I look forward to my entire week watching Carolina. And for those couple of hours, as stressful and emotional as it may be, it's the best part of my week in the fall. And so to see us come up shy, it just sucks, right? Especially in a game where, I don't know, it felt like the stars were aligning, right? At home, at night, new coach with this new energy, a sellout crowd. We had SEC Nation on campus, but once again, it's just coming up just short in those big games. And, you know, there's going to be more big games. So we have to find ways to level up, right? It felt like, I'm going to get into this in a little bit, but it just felt like still just not quite there with the energy and trying to seize the moment. We have to be prepared to do that as a program. But, you know, after the game, I took to Twitter and I sent out a hellstorm of tweets, if you will. And I'm just going to say right now, if you follow me on Twitter, like, I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be the guy that just fires off rage tweets. But our entire fan base was so riled up, and myself included, you know, we were just ready for this game. And it felt like it was ours for the taking, and just to be left down, it was just hard to take in the moment. So I'm going to try to avoid that in the future. Probably good not to drink some Bud Light and tweet in general, but especially when emotions are high. But and look, I understand it is year one, game four under a new coach, and that any rebuild anywhere, but especially in college football, it takes time. But there were just moments in this game where I was just left dumbfounded as to what I was watching. And specifically speaking, I want to take a few minutes to talk about some play calls. And just like the Georgia game, these high pressure, high leverage situations with just head scratching decisions. But something I really wanted to harp on, which is really the antithesis, if you will, of my hellstorm of tweets, was it was the beginning of the fourth quarter. Carolina, I believe we just got a turnover, which was great. The defense did an incredible job creating turnovers, but we were down 13-7. And we were in a little bit of no man's land, but we were in Kentucky territory. You know, we were maybe right around the 40-yard line, 35-yard, give or take. And it felt like it was doable for Parker White. But Beamer decides to go for it on fourth down. Now, mind you, it was not fourth and one. It was not fourth and inches, right? It was fourth and multiple. And we got stopped. Now, watching the game, I thought that that was an easy decision to kick there. Everyone around me was surprised that we were going for it. The defense was playing very well all night. And in my mind, if you get the points there, you're in a great position to then set up a stop and then give your offense a legitimate chance to score and win the ball game. But we ended up getting stopped. And I know everyone likes to be aggressive in today's football. And maybe there were some analytics there that say it was a smart call. Maybe there was a look that UK was in with their scheme and the coaches thought we could convert it. But none of that matters to me. I'm sorry. That was a wrong call. That was a bad call. The offense was struggling all night. The defense bailed out the team multiple times. You have got to find a way to get points off of turnovers. And in that moment specifically, you had a chance to do so. Parker White has saved us before. He's a great asset to the team, and I would have liked him to get a shot there. I mean, if he misses, at least you gave it a try. Instead, we went for it on fourth and medium. It wasn't even fourth and short. And we gave UK a short field to work with after that. I think we might have, there might have been a turnover somewhere right around there, but the fact is you gave him the ball right there. You had a chance to get points. You have to get the points off turnovers. You have to capitalize. And it just was, again, I'm going to dive into this in a little bit, but the play calling in the fourth down situations, we had a couple, it was just ass. It was just not creative. You got to find a way to outsmart the defense in those situations. And it was just more of the same time and time again. And that just has to get cleaned up. I'm not a coach. I'm sure they have reasons out there. But to me, in a game that's clearly having razor thin margins, you got to take what's given to you. And I say in that situation, you got to take the points. Now, aside from that, Carolina, we have got to find a way to get into an offensive rhythm much easier and sooner in these games. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like the same thing that happened with ECU a couple weeks back, where we got in a hole and we had to battle back and try to find ourselves in the game late. And I'm sorry, that is just not a winning recipe. A lot of that falls on Satterfield, but Beamer has to find ways to game plan for the start of these big games and find ways to keep the team loose, right? You got to be able to go out there and you got to be able to execute better, especially early in these games at home when the crowd is really behind you. And we've heard coaches say that they're going to work on our scheme around the personnel that we have. I 100% agree that that's how you have to do it, right? But there has to be these minimal expectations of us getting big plays, and you have to create extended drives. So I'm not saying you got to throw out the scheme completely out the window, but I mean, maybe a little bit of experimenting could do us some good. I mean, to come out flat, more or less, is just unacceptable, right? Like, let's take a deep shot right away, right? Let's do a trick play right away. Let's try to find a spark. Let's see some creativity to get everybody involved in it. Because right now, what we're currently doing, it just feels like it's not clicking. So I don't know. With all that being said, let me dive into what I liked and what I didn't like from each side of the ball. Starting with the defense. I mean, what did I like? Turnovers, baby. The turnover machine rolls on. Four games in a row with picks. Another fumble or two created. Guys are being aggressive. They're trying to win that turnover battle. And it's working, right? The scheme seems to be working pretty well, right? It's incredible to see some of the numbers we have. I mean, and at the end of the day, we held Kentucky to 16 points. And I feel like any time you hold your opponent to under 20, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, you know, it feels like you're going to give your team a hell of a chance to win. Obviously didn't turn out that way, but that's a huge positive. Now, what I didn't like, they didn't score. I mean, what the hell, man? I'm just kidding. I mean, am I though? I don't know. But it honestly, like, that felt like that was the only thing this defense could have done more. They created multiple turnovers, right? Clayton White must have been fuming. I don't know if he's in the box or if he's on the sideline. I know Satterfield's in the box, but my goodness. Like, at one point you just want to tap him on the shoulder and be like, what the hell, man? Right? Like, what more can we do? Right? I mean, it's crazy. At times, though, it did feel like the absence of Sherrod Greene was felt. Looked like Carolina had to go into some different looks and try to stop the run sometimes, and it just felt like we got bullied a little bit at times. And again, my man, he's my guy, Cam Smith, gets called for another bad penalty, and I think that negated – it was a big sack at the end of the first half. I honestly thought the call was a little soft, like when you look at it, but – it's just a weird theme that he's been getting dinged for these flags in a big spot. So for a guy who's going to have the best players on him most of the time, you got to find a way to get that cleaned up, especially in big spots like that. But again, overall, the defense was the reason I felt like we were even in the fucking game, right? Like, there isn't too much to bitch about with that unit. I just want to hope to see them continue to progress and be aggressive and continue to be aggressive like that. I said aggressive like seven times, so my bad. But on to the offense. Oh, boy. All right. First, let me preface everything with this. As mad as I am with Marcus Satterfield, I'm not calling for the breakup yet. It's kind of like when you get in an argument with a spouse and you got to talk about your communication. Or maybe talk about compromises. Or maybe you just got to go out for a walk and cool off a bit. Because let me tell you, I am quite upset with that offensive performance Saturday night. The offense could not get into a rhythm for damn near the entire first half. I mean, a lot of the play calls, they felt predictable. The run game still has not gotten anything going in any way, shape, or form. Can we pull a guard, please? Get the guard, pull the pin and pull, whatever the hell it's called. Can we please get that going? I mean, we got blessed by the defense, like I just said, multiple times, and it just felt like dud play calling. I would have liked to see us take a deep shot early in one of those series, right? It just felt like, it almost felt like we were saving something in our back pocket, and we just never saw that, right? I don't know. It was weird. Pass protection, it might have honestly been a tad better, but we still gave up multiple sacks. And I think our running backs, they need to be involved more in that pass protection. But when they do, they need to execute well. A play comes to mind when Juju, he just whiffed. He whiffed on a block. So you got to find ways to be effective when you do that. All right, but what did I like about the offense? I mean, they did score, right? I mean, that's nice. The scoring drive, I felt we did see some nice play calls, right? Especially that touchdown. That was a look where I was like, okay, we're just going to run it up the middle, run up the gut. But it was a pretty creative play call and a pretty nice design to get Jalen Brooks wide open for that touchdown. I did feel our tight ends were pretty good. Muse had a nice catch and run that stands out. Bell, I think he had a couple of nice plays. There was that one really great play. Turned out it was an incomplete pass. I think his foot was on the line. But it was a nice throw and catch from Luke to him. And then I know I just kind of said he whiffed on a block, but Juju, he really seemed to bring a little bit of that spark. I mean, especially I think it was later in the first half. They seemed to get a little something going getting him at space. So he is just a nice piece that keeps on continuing to shine. And we have to find ways to continue to get him in space. But outside of that, I mean, the offense really didn't do too much to excite me or I feel like anyone else. I mean, you even had DJ Swearinger, DJ Swag on Twitter saying we were very predictable. So, look, I'm not a coach. I know that there are different nuances and different things that they run. And they're like, well, it was a different play or it's a different look, right? We could have hit this linebacker here and it would have been a big run. But still, I want to see some creativity. We got to figure out what's going on here because this is just not looking good right now. But overall, here are my thoughts. Any talks about coaching changes or coordinator changes are just way too premature in my eyes. I know this is cliche, but Rome was not built in a day. I believe that continuity creates growth and sustainable growth over time. You don't want to overwhelm or confuse the kids with new schemes and new plays and new playbooks or anything like that. However, we deserve better, man. I mean, the game on Saturday, it was a game that we really could have and I felt should have won. And when you were in those moments, you have to find a way to do that, right? Not everything's going to work how you scheme things up. X's and O's don't win games, right? The coaches have to get a better feel for the moment and figure out how to coach accordingly to that. Maybe change their approach based on what is being given to them in that moment, in that game. But I'm not saying that this game doesn't hurt, because it does. But if we can take a step back, take a breath, realize we are still 2-2 here, right? There's a lot of football to be played. And these next couple of games specifically will be crucial to show us, you know, how the staff can adjust and make something happen if their plan A is not working, right? Let's see adjustments. What's plan B? What's plan C, right? Now, we're all in this together. I do believe we are on the right path, right? I believe in what Beamer is doing. I believe in what he's bringing to the table. And I believe in this staff. I do. But that doesn't mean it's going to come easy or overnight, right? There's growing pains. The growing pains stink. That's why they call them pains, not like growing goods or anything like that. But we got to keep the faith. Brighter days are ahead, which leads me into days ahead like this week's preview. Really, all I had down was prepping for the Troy game. Carolina is a 9-point favorite. It's a nice early line. But how do we correct the things that went bad last Saturday? I hope that we can get some questions answered during the Tuesday press conference. I would like to see Marcus Satterfield up there throwing accountability out there, answering for what happened, but we'll see. But, you know, everyone, let's take the week to regroup and realize that we have a chance to get back to a winning record come next Saturday, this Saturday, I should say, and all of our goals for this year are still very attainable. In my mind, when you're at the University of South Carolina, the bare minimum expectation should be getting to a bowl game. I understand it's year one. There's a whole lot that Beamer has had to fix, and the roster is not deep as he would like, but if you can find a way to hit that bare minimum expectation, that's an incredible win for year one, and that is still attainable. Troy and Vandy are staring us in the face. You never want to look ahead. Those are two games that I feel are very winnable. Where can we get the other wins? But let me recap my six-pack of picks from the past weekend, and we'll rack things up here. So my official rating for a six-pack, not bad. Yeah, we ended at 3-3, but if you saw on Twitter, I included a bonus pick, and that hit. So that was 4-3. So ACC, UNC minus 12.5, that was a loss against Georgia Tech. But the story out of the weekend for the ACC was NC State taking down Clem sucks. Suck it, Gil. Somehow they're still ranked, but who cares? I mean, their playoff chances are shot. They're a mess, and love to see it. Who knows? Maybe that sixth win for the bowl game will come against the Tigers. That would be electric. Big 12, Texas Tech at Texas over 61. That was a win. That hit. Texas hit that over by themselves. They dropped 70. I mean, maybe Sark is figuring things out in Austin. On to the Big 12, I had Rutgers plus 21 at Michigan. That was a win. Rutgers covered, lost the game, but Scarlet Knights did me well there. Pac-12, I had Oregon minus 28 hosting Arizona. That was a loss. That was not passive income because I was asleep come halftime at that game. So that's passive losing money. Sick. But the SEC, I had Arkansas plus 4.5 at Texas A&M or whatever, Jerry World. Woo Pig Suey, they got that W outright. Sam Pittman, in year two, he might have that thing rolling. And look, they showed improvements year one under him. It was the COVID year, but they still went 3-7, right? But now year two, they're rolling. So, hey, let this be a lesson to whoever's listening out there, wink, wink, that success does not always happen overnight. Maybe year two, things look better for everyone in general. Funny to, you know, keep an eye on that. And my group of five pick, I had Tulsa minus 13.5 at Arkansas State. That was an L. But my bonus pick was UGA minus 35. That was a win. That was a straight ass whooping at Vanderbilt. And so, yeah, 4-3 in the plus money. That's electric. But that's going to wrap up this episode, y'all. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow along on Twitter. It's at Cox Gamecocks. And Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. But let's try to keep the faith here as we look forward to this week. Let's keep supporting the team and everything they do. And to quote Coach Luke Day, let's struggle well. I'll see y'all on Friday. Go Cox.